Good morning, friends. How are we doing today? Hey, anybody else thankful to serve the living God? Anybody else here, right? Didn't our worship team, didn't they do a bang-up job? Man, they're so good. It is my honor to be able to speak to you and with you today. If you don't know, my name is Michael, and I have the privilege of dealing with the students here at New Work Fellowship. So that's from puberty till the time that you kick them out. I get to work with them. And sometimes they let me preach, and I am excited to share the word with you today. So far, we've been going through a series called Preach Jesus. Yeah, that's a really good thing for churches to do, is preach Jesus. So we've been going through this series called Preach Jesus, and Kevin last week introduced us to the fact that Jesus is the incarnation of hope in our lives, that he brings hope and miracles all throughout his story and his stories in the Bible. So today we're going to continue on looking at the incarnation of Jesus with him being the hope. This morning I kind of want to start with a story, and for those of you who are thinking, ooh, I love a good story, this is not a good story, okay? This is a bad story, but I want to bring your attention to this because I'm going to segue to it. But let me tell you a story about a crew who worked on a train. So there is a crew of people that worked on a train, and on this particular day, it was the foreman's birthday. So the foreman told the crew, hey, everybody leave an hour early. Train's in here. Get stuff done. Leave an hour early. Everybody got the memo that we're leaving an hour early except for the tech. The tech is in the boxcar freezer portion of the train. He's working on the freezer, trying to get it going again. And that tech accidentally locks himself into the freezer. He's banging on the walls, thinking, man, people are here, and we got an hour before we leave. No one's there. Tech begins to continue to bang on the door, and then the tech begins to have these thoughts. I'm going to die in here. I'm going to freeze to death in here. He gets to experience what some of us have got to experience in life, called overwhelming hopelessness or overwhelming despair. So it goes on, and the tech knows, he just knows that he's going to die, so he pulls out a pocket knife, and he begins to write notes to his wife in the bottom of the floor. It's wooden. He's carving her a note, and doesn't come home that night. And they go in the next day, and they open up the freezer of that boxcar, and the tech is dead. He died. Now, here's what's ironic about this story. The boxcar's freezer was unplugged, and the temperature never got below 50 degrees while that tech was locked in there. He died because of hopelessness. He literally, I know this is going to be a shocking thing, he literally worried himself to death. It's a good reason why Jesus says over and over again in the scriptures, do not worry. The tech experienced hopelessness. Today, I don't want to talk to you about hopelessness, amen. Today, I want to talk to you about hope. And here's what you need to know about hope. The living incarnation of hope for you and in your life and for all of those who have come before us and for all of those who will come after us. Listen, y'all, his name is Jesus. And I want to show you that today. As we look at the story of Jesus and the leper, we're going to make three observations that we can see and that we need to understand about hope. Before I read the story to you, would you pray this over yourself? Would you just say, God, speak, and I will listen. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We come to you in the name of hope this morning. And we ask that as we read your word, as we study it, God, that you would speak to us and that we would listen. God, would you anoint me to say what I know you want me to say? God, would you bring hope to some hopeless situations this morning through the power of your word, through the power of your son, Jesus? God, would you do this, and we'll give you all the glory and all the praise. And everybody said, amen. I'm only going to read a couple of verses to you today, so we're going to begin. We're in Mark chapter 1. Verses 40 through 42. Mark chapter 1, verses 40 through 42. And here's what it says. It'll be on the screen behind me. Read this with me. A man with leprosy came, and he knelt down in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, you can heal me, and you can make me clean, he said. Moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and he touched him. "I'm willing," Jesus said, "be healed." And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Here's what you need to know about leprosy in the ancient world. It was the very incarnation of hopelessness in that day. Leprosy was a contagious skin disease that was brutal, and it had a reputation for maiming people. It would leave people isolated from their families. If you had leprosy, you really couldn't live with your family anymore. They would put you out in Jewish community. So leprosy could be caught from someone. And the thing that leprosy did that was so detrimental to those that it attacked is leprosy would actually attack the nerves. And this would leave people's hands, feet, and faces maimed. And we hear about leprosy in the scriptures a lot. And it's because leprosy was horrifying. And I don't think we understand just how bad leprosy was. So on the screen, there's going to be some pictures that roll through of people that have leprosy. Lepers in the Jewish community were made to announce their coming. Someone was coming towards a leper would have to yell, "Unclean, unclean." Lepers were not allowed to be with their families. They weren't allowed to go worship unless it was to be inspected by a priest to see if the leprosy was gone. Ancient historians have said that lepers were considered as walking corpses. Who knows? Lepers were maybe even the inspiration for The Walking Dead. But our first observation of hope comes from a leper. And I want to read this to you again, and then I want to give it to you. Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Listen to what it says that the leper did. "And a man with leprosy came, and he knelt down in front of Jesus, and he begged to be healed. And he said to Jesus, 'If you are willing, you can heal me, and you can make me clean.'" The first observation on hope that I want you to understand and see from the leper is this: hope is worth pursuing. Hope is worth pursuing. The hopeless leper approached Jesus. He begged, he knelt, and he admitted that, "Jesus, I have a problem that I can do nothing about, but I know that you can fix the problem." And here's what's crazy about this. For the leper to even approach Jesus was illegal. But nothing's going to stop this leper from getting to Jesus, from taking a problem to the one that he knows can fix the problem. Now, here's what I know about you, and here's what I know about me. We are really good at taking our problems to the wrong people or to the wrong things to fix them. We are really good at having a problem and deciding what we're going to do with our problem is post about it to the whole world and make sure that everybody knows that we have this problem. And you know what happens when you post your problem to the whole world? Someone has a problem with your problem, and your problem just had babies, and it keeps going on and on and on. And what happens to that problem? Nothing. Some of you are old school, right? "I would never post my problems." Yeah, but your coworker would just love it if you could be mute for a day, maybe a week. Quit telling them all your problems. Let me tell you a really good way to exhaust everyone around you. Just tell them about your problems all the time. Just life, I call it life vomiting. When you life vomit on someone, boy, that's good. We're really good at taking people, our problems, and then throwing our hands up in the air and wondering, well, why is this not getting better? Why isn't it getting fixed? Some of y'all know people that bring their problems to everybody, and I love you, but some of you are people that bring your problems to everyone. And here's what I know about problems. I'm convinced that God sometimes allows us to have problems that, listen, only he can fix. Not your spouse, not your kids, look at me, not your pastors, the Lord. wants you to bring your problems to him. Only he can fix it. And here's what I know about bringing Jesus problems. It is worth pursuing him and the hope that he brings. I want you to think about the leper for just a moment. It's illegal for the leper to come and approach Jesus, but he does. And I love the details that are in the Bible. I love that it says that the leper came and he knelt and he begged at the feet of Jesus. Friend, when's the last time that you knelt and begged for something at the feet of Jesus? Can I tell you, one of the enemy's greatest works in and amongst us here today is to tell you and me, you can fix that. That's not without your reach. You can take care of that all by yourself. That's not what the leper does. He comes, he kneels, and he begs, and he admits, Jesus, I have a problem that only you can fix. You know, this got me thinking about the way that we approach Jesus. And it got me thinking about the way that Jesus responds to people when he is approached. How many times do you think Jesus turned away humble people? Somebody comes, they beg, they kneel, they earnestly seek the heart of God in humility. Do you know how many times Jesus turned the humble away? Let me help you with my English. Not none. Not none is who Jesus turned away when they came with an attitude and a posture of humility. But do you know how many people Jesus turned away that came in pride? Oh, Jesus, I've obeyed all the commandments, even since I was a little bitty baby, Jesus, I've obeyed them. Since I was a youth, I've obeyed them. That dude's getting turned away. And here's what I know. When we come before Jesus in pride, in a posture of pride, there's a pretty good chance he ain't gonna do what you're asking him to do. The leper gives us an example that hope is worth pursuing, but it's also important for us to realize and to look at, how am I pursuing Jesus? Am I pursuing Jesus like most of the church does as a trade-off? Jesus, I've been a really good boy, so I'm praying for this, and I know that you're going to give it to me. Friend, that ain't right. The Bible says this, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And the first thing that we see from this leper's story is that hope is worth pursuing. Let me show you the second thing we can see from this story. Read with me again, Mark chapter 1, verses 41 through 42. The first three words, moved with compassion. I think it'd probably do us all a lot of good to underline that in our Bibles. Isn't this the people that we should try and be when people come to us with problems? That we should be moved with compassion? And aren't you so thankful that this is the God that you and I serve? That when we come to him with our problems, even if it's problems that we have created, Jesus doesn't say, let's pretend that the leper's name was Lucas. Well, Lucas, you shouldn't have been standing there when that other leper was coughing all over you, and then you wouldn't have got leprosy. Well, Reuben, you shouldn't have been hitting your sister, and then she wouldn't have hit you back. Well, Remy, you shouldn't have took his toys. That's not what the heart of God is at all. The heart of God sees the need and reacts with compassion. Move with compassion. Jesus reached out and he touched him. I am willing, Jesus said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. The second thing that I want you to see about hope this morning is this. You need to hear this. Hope can touch anyone. Hope can touch anyone. It blows my mind that in this story, as the leper approaches Jesus, Jesus doesn't do what I would do, and that scream at that dude to back it on up, Captain. I don't need none of that. You know the rules. Back it on up. No, instead, Jesus has compassion on him, and then listen, he doesn't just talk to this guy in close vicinity. The Bible says that he reaches out and he touches him. Did you know the book of Leviticus? I know that's something that a lot of people haven't read, but it's pretty good. It gives some things to do and not to do when you're around a leper. And the number one thing is, hey, y'all, don't touch them. Because what's unclean in them can make you unclean. Let me tell you something about my Jesus. He plays by different rules. There is nothing unclean or unworthy that Jesus can touch to make him unclean or him unworthy. Jesus can touch anyone. And he touches this leper. He breaks all the rules because he has compassion upon him. Michael, why should I care about Jesus and his willingness to touch a leper? Friend, if Jesus can touch a leper, look at me, he can touch you. He can touch your spouse. He can touch your rebellious kids. Hey, praise God, Monday morning, he can touch your attitude. You know what I'm saying? If Jesus can touch a leper, he can and he wants to and he's willing to touch you. Let me tell you this about the touch of hope. No one is exempt from it. No one is excluded from it. The touch of hope can cross the boundaries of race and gender and status and economic status and social barriers and clean and unclean, deserving and undeserving, the sinner, the saint. The touch of hope can touch anyone. There is no barrier that hope cannot touch. Listen, not even death itself. My Jesus, and hopefully your Jesus, wants to touch things that are unclean and make them clean. Anybody in the room experience that personally? Praise God, right? Okay, just me. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for what you did in me. Just me. That's okay. I'll yell at y'all till somebody gets it. Here's the deal. Do you know what the church is called to do? The church is called to reach the world. And in case you're confused about that, you're watching the wrong game on TV. You need to change the channel. This is the game that we are in, to reach the world, not make church members happy. That's not why the church exists. That's not even why you exist. You exist to reach the world. Can I tell y'all a big secret about the world? A lot of uncleanness out in the world. A lot of unworthiness out in the world. And our temptation is to look at all that and say, ooh, no, somebody's going to do that, but not me. Somebody can go over there and try to reach that adulterer, not me. Somebody can go tell that addict about Jesus, but no, not me. Friend, we're called to reach the world. And let me tell you something, when you reach the world, you're going to get your hands dirty. And they're going to stay dirty. Because the world is full of unworthy and unclean. Michael, how do you know that the world is full of unworthy and unclean? Because I look in the mirror every day. That's how I know. I know it's full of unworthy and unclean. You know what they need more than anything? They need a touch of hope. Where are they going to get it from? Hopefully they can get it from you. Hopefully they can get it from Jesus through you, and then you through Jesus. But the second lesson about hope is this: hope can touch anyone. I want to read verses 41 through 42 again and show you the third thing about hope. Here's what it says again. Move with compassion. Jesus reached out and he touched him. I am willing, Jesus said, be healed. And instantly the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. A third thing about hope for you to realize and to recognize is that hope's power is rooted in his word. Hope's power is rooted in his word. Anybody else love reading the Bible? I love that when people wrote the Bible, they did not write stories like I tell stories. They are detailed, and they give us details. And this story contains an important detail that if you get it, it can change your life. Here's what I mean by this. The Bible doesn't say that Jesus looked on the leper, had compassion, and then he was healed. Doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say Jesus looked at the leper, had compassion, thought about it, leper's healed. Doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say Jesus looked on the leper, had compassion, touched him, and then Jesus heals him. Doesn't say that either. Listen, y'all, the Bible says Jesus looked, he had compassion, and he spoke, and immediately the man is healed. Some of you, the reason why you have no hope in your life, the reason why you're swimming in hopelessness is because you are unplugged from the very word of God, which has the power to bring hope to hopelessness. You want some hope? Put down the Cheerios. Open up the word. It's right here. Michael, how can you make that claim, that Jesus just speaks and hope happens? I'm glad you asked. One time the disciples are on a boat. There's a storm happening. And all of them are thinking exactly what you would think if you're on a carnival cruise and a storm's happening. I'm gonna die. And they're yelling it. They're shouting it. Jesus, we're not gonna make it. They go and wake up sleeping Jesus. Listen, y'all, if Jesus is sleeping, it's gonna be fine, right? I'm gonna die. He wakes up. Here's what he does. He speaks, and everything calms down. Jesus has got a close friend. His name's Lazarus. Everybody say Lazarus. Lazarus is about to die. Jesus knows Lazarus is about to die, and they're asking, hey, you better come quick. Lazarus is about to die. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I think I'm going to stay here for a little bit. Y'all let me know when he dies. Lazarus dies. Jesus shows up. Listen, goes to the tomb of Lazarus. You know where I'm going with this? Jesus speaks. And Lazarus gets up from the grave. Last week, Kevin told us about some demons. You know what happens when Jesus speaks? They leave. Michael, well, that just can't be all through the Bible. Friend, it's all through the Bible. John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was. And then you go to Genesis 1:1, in the beginning was the heavens and the earth, and God spoke. It's Jesus. And when Jesus speaks, things happen. You want some hope in your life? Let Jesus speak into you. Let me tell you about two more times where Jesus is going to speak and something incredible is going to happen. The book of Revelation says that one day Jesus is going to return and he's going to give a cry of command. Michael, what's that sound like? I have no idea, but I'm going to hear it and you are too, brother. And then we're going to talk about it. And after this cry of command, it says that the dead in Christ will rise first. He is going to speak us back into existence after we die. Then it says about the enemy and his fall that Jesus is going to speak in all of his work and the enemy will be undone forever. And you might ask, well, why? And I'm telling you with authority, because Jesus said so. Not because he did so, because he said so. Friend, we live in hopeless desperation because we ain't plugged into the Word of God. If I could do a miracle in everybody's life, you know what it would be? It would be for us to read the Bible together every day. Every day. And your life would change. For some of us, we're convinced that we would have hope if we just had the right leader. If we get the right leader in charge, we can have hope. It's always the next election, right? Oh, listen, we could have hope if them gas prices would go down. Friend, they already went down and ain't nobody's lives any better because of it. Oh, we could have hope if we had free health care. Move to Canada. They ain't got no more hope than you do. We could have hope if we just gave everybody free college. No, that ain't the answer either, friend. Look at me and listen to me. Hope's power for the believer, for you and me and for the rest of the world is right here in the very Word of God, because it is powerful. Let me tell you how this plays out. How you doing in the Word? I know I'm stomping on your toes, but hopefully you'll feel it tomorrow. And then remember, man, I should get up and read the Word. How you doing in the Word? Let me help encourage you for just a second. I need to brag on four people. So me and Lena got here last May. Last May. And so in July, I challenged our students. We had a Wednesday night, and we talked about the importance of reading the Word, and I challenged our students. I said, listen, I want you guys to read through the whole Bible in a year. Think you can do it? There's no way we can do it. Hey, here's how you can do it. Take 10, 15 minutes a day. There's this thing called Bible app. It's crazy. Like, Satan doesn't have a hold of all technology. There's some of it that God's got. Praise God, we can use it. So we get it. We get it downloaded, get them all signed up. And I said, listen, you're going to read, and it's going to take you 10, 15 minutes a day. Or you can be like me and be super lazy and just listen to it, because I have squirrel brain when I read, and I'm thinking about squirrels and any other thing that's moving in my house. So we get done. I issued a challenge 1 week. Hey, listen, y'all, we had 4 students this year read through the whole Bible. The whole Bible. That's crazy. It's Emma Dill. I'm not going to mention any names, but it's Emma Dill. It's Emily Smith, Braylee Fowler, and Jake Bottoms. So here's what I'm saying to you when you come at me with, oh, I don't have time to read every day. Are you smarter than a high schooler or a middle schooler? Praise God, I think you are. And if they figured out how to do it, praise God, so can you. We're going to start it up again in August. And if you want to be a part of it and you want some healthy accountability, you let me know, because we're going to read through it again. That's one thing I asked them. Hey, would you do this again? They said, are we going to do this again? I was like, yeah, we're going to do this again. Like, I'm planning on never not doing it again. We're going to do it again. How are you doing in the Word? It is how you and I can be connected every day to hope's power. Let me just be crystal clear when I say that hope's power is rooted in the Word. Here's what I mean by this. Hope's power for all of us, for all of creation, is knowing through the Word that Jesus came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless life, died on a cross for you and for me so that we could be reconciled to God Almighty, who was raised from the dead, so that one day we might all experience the resurrection and live eternally with God. Listen, simply put, hope's power is the gospel. For all of us, for all of time. It's the gospel. Friends, I hope as we've covered this story of the leper that you understand who you are supposed to identify with. And no, it's not Jesus. People are not bringing you their problems and you're speaking and making them go away. That's not who you're supposed to identify with in the scriptures. Anybody got another guess who we should identify with? Yeah, starts with L, ends with Eper. It's the leper. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, you're a leper. All of us are supposed to identify. That was really insensitive if somebody in here does have leprosy. I'm sorry. There's a cure now. All of us are supposed to identify with the leper. Michael, why? Listen, because all of us have a problem that we cannot fix on our own. All of us, because of this problem, experience separation from people that love us and people that we love, and ultimately separation from God. All of us have a problem that, listen, it is out to kill you. Michael, what disease do I have that's trying to do all that? It's called sin. And you were born into it and born with it. Michael, I don't believe that. I don't believe that people are born bad. Come give me a phone call when you got a toddler friend. They're born bad. They're prepackaged bad. We all got a problem called sin, and here's what I know about my sin, and here's what I know about your sin. It is hopeless for you and I to do anything about it. Hopeless. I mean, can you imagine the twist on this story, right? Can you imagine the twist on this story if this leper runs up to Jesus? He says, hey, Jesus, woo! Man, I'm tired after all that running, but I need you to know something. I got leprosy, and I'm doing everything I can about it, and it's getting better. I'll see you in a little bit. And runs off and leaves. We would look at that guy and go, man, that is crazy. He's asinine. And yet that is exactly what we do with Jesus. Hey, Jesus, listen, I know you convicted me at church about my addiction. I need you to know I got it all under control. I'm about to be better. No, you're not. Hey, Jesus, I know my marriage is falling apart because I'm being a jerkhead, and I'm going to do better, and it's all going to be okay. No, it's not. All of us have sin problems that Jesus and Jesus alone can do something about. All of us left on our own desires are a brutal, honest picture of hopelessness. We are liars. We are idolaters. We are jealous. We are bitter. We are covetous. We are gluttons. Well, that one hits different, don't it? Yeah, that's in the Bible. We are arrogant. We are addicts. We are racist. We are, you fill in the blank with whatever it is that pertains to you. Bottom line, you are a sinner. But this is not a story of hopelessness. It is a story of a man who sees and understands his hopelessness and chooses to pursue hope. Here's what this man found out about hope, and here's what you can know about hope. Friend, hope can heal. Sherry's testimony this morning, man, hope can heal. Hope can restore. Hope can make the broken beautiful. Listen, y'all, did you know that hope is here right now in this room? Did you know that? The Bible says where two or three or more are gathered, I am there amongst them. You know who's here right in the room with us right now? The living God. Hope. I love this. Hope is alive if you're a believer. The Bible says that we have a living hope. That our hope isn't in something in that might happen or might get better. No, friend, if you're a believer, you have a living hope. And it's alive, and he has a name, and his name is Jesus, and he is for you, and he wants you. And here's what I know about my Jesus. When I have come and said, Jesus, here's who I am, and it is hopeless, and I need you to help me, he has said the same thing to me that he said to the leper, I am willing. I'm willing. And I know that this morning, if you were to come and do that, he would say the same thing to you. I am willing. Here in just a moment, one of our new residents, her name is Ariel. Everybody say Ariel. Ariel is going to come lead us in one of my favorite songs. And as she's singing, as the worship band is coming, you need to ask yourself some questions as you're doing that. You need to ask yourself the question, what am I going to do with hope today? I'm going to look at it and turn around and pretend that it's not for me and pretend that it doesn't exist anymore? Am I going to do something about it today? You need to ask yourself the question, how will I come to Jesus if I come to Jesus today? Friend, let me encourage you to make it a posture of humility. To come begging and asking with a posture of praise. What will you do with the gospel? What will you do with hope today? Three things about hope that you need to know that could change your life forever. Number one, hope is worth pursuing, friend. Number two, hope can touch anyone, even you. And number three, hope. Y'all know it's bad when you forget your last point, when you're on your last point. Somebody help me out. Hope what? Rooted in the Word. Thank you, Lord. I'll read it again tomorrow. Let me pray for you as you contemplate what you're going to do with hope today. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name, God, and we're thankful for your word and its power, God, and we're thankful that you are a God of hope. God, help us to pursue your hope this week. Help us to remind ourselves when we're in the middle of our mess, when we're feeling unclean and unworthy, that there's nothing anyone could do. God, help us to remember that you can touch anyone with your hope. God, help us to find hope that's rooted in your word this week as we embark and as we commit to getting more into the word where we can find you. God, we ask that you do this in Jesus' name, the hope bringer. And everybody said,